God has ascended. That's the theme for our worship on this Festival of the Ascension. We'll follow that theme in our scripture lessons, in our prayers, in our sermon, in our hymns, and special music this evening. Welcome to worship at St. Paul's. Before we begin, let's stand and say hello to each other. Please rise and introduce yourself by first name to somebody you don't know. Please take a moment sometime during the service to fill out one of these connection cards. They are in front of you in the pew rack. Let us know that you are worshiping with us, and if you have a prayer request or a question, you can ask it on that same card. We begin our service this evening with hymn 472, a hymn of glory, let us sing. The service of word and prayer begins in the front part of the hymnal on page 266. It's also projected on the screen. I rejoiced with those who said to me,
let us go to God's Lord.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever to you.
The Lord is near to all who call upon him. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us.
So that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins.
And was raised to life for our justification.
Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The children, grades 1 to 4, will sing.
Thank you.
In our first lesson, the evangelist Luke begins his second letter to his friend Theophilus, Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, Luke's account of the ascension. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with our psalm of the day, Psalm 47. It's in the front of the hymnal. It is that version of the psalm. We'll sing the psalm together, and while we are doing that, the children grades 5 to 8 are invited forward to prepare to sing.
Thank you.
Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for the Festival of the Ascension is from the Evangelist Luke's first book, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day, hymn 476, "On Christ's Ascension I Now Build." Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from the Holy Spirit, and from our ascended Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the word of God for meditation this evening is the psalm of the day, or a portion of it, Psalm 47, beginning at verse 2. "For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise." This is the word of the Lord. In the calendar of the church year, We celebrate almost all of the steps of Jesus' humiliation and exaltation. During Advent, for example, we ponder the words conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then at Christmas time, we worship at the manger and rejoice over the words born of the Virgin Mary. During the long weeks of Lent, and especially Holy Week and Good Friday in particular, we remember that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. There's usually not enough time on Easter Sunday to ponder the words, he descended into hell, although we did this past Easter. But everybody who's had me in catechism class for the last 25 years should well remember the significance of that event, and some of you may even remember some sound effects that go along with those words. Easter is the welcome celebration that our Lord rose again from the dead, and today we come to the words, he ascended into heaven. And it's here that we might combine this with the words, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And next October or November, we will also consider during end times the words, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. It's the whole second article of the Creed. Now, the ascension is the real, visible elevation of Jesus Christ from earth to heaven. This psalm, Psalm 47, along with Psalm 68, are the two main Old Testament prophecies about this event. And Jesus himself often talked about this ahead of time. He said, you will see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before. And I am going ahead of you to the one who sent me. And he said to Mary Magdalene outside the tomb, I have not yet returned to my Father. And in the text before us, the prophet shows us that Christ is the Lord Most High and the great King over all the earth, proclaiming, in a sense, our Lord's, both our Lord's humanity and divinity, which can be a paradox to understand, and yet it is a fact we believe and trust. The prophet here also proclaims the great victory of Christ over sin and death and the devil with the simple sounding words, he subdued nations under us, and peoples under our feet. For what victory is greater than the victory of the cross and the empty tomb? So here, Christ has now trampled death to death. He has put the grave in its own grave. He has condemned the devil to eternal temptation and torture and to suffer for all eternity. And he has branded the devil to be a loser. What shall we think as we read verses 6 and 7? Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing him a psalm of praise. First, let's remember that this is not just a couple throwaway lyrics in a really old song. The Holy Spirit wants us to know and believe what is proclaimed here. This has doctrinal weight. Jesus Christ is called God and King. And then again, God and King. A second time for emphasis. We are being preached to by the Holy Spirit, and the subject is the first commandment. Jesus Christ is worshiped and glorified and honored and believed in according to the first commandment. For when God commands us to have no other gods, he doesn't just mean God the Father, and he doesn't mean just mean the Father and the Holy Spirit. He means the Son as well. For Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you. He's praying to the Father. He says, you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And the apostle says in 2 John, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Now, this is what God the Son has done for us. Christ Jesus, who emptied himself and took on a servant's form, who humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross, was exalted by God the Father. It was not simply Christ, God alone, who has ascended into heaven. It is Christ, true God and true man, who has ascended into heaven, risen from the dead, and ascended to glory, seated even now at the right hand of the Father. And his position there is not just a place for him to sit. It is the position of special honor and dignity and glory, and Christ is the victor over sin and death. But does that mean that Christ, who is in heaven, therefore is not with us here on earth? Or that his body and blood cannot be in communion with one another when we partake of the bread and wine in the sacrament? Not at all. For Christ says, as he ascended, according to the text of Matthew's gospel, which we didn't read this evening, but I'll read it to you now, I am with you always to the very end of the age. It isn't as if the victorious Son of God is a kind of a prisoner in his own palace, like Rapunzel, unable to do the very things he promised to do on account of remaining in the flesh. No, he has retained the flesh, kept it, and he will not set it aside. What he took up into his divine nature at his conception in the womb of Mary, which was his human nature, he will keep forever. It is Christ in the flesh we look forward to seeing in heaven. Not a blinding light, not a brighter a light than the sun in the sky, not the angel of the Lord, not a hovering dove, but Jesus Christ, the man, God and man together, who came for us once and who will come for us again at the end. In this wonderful psalm, we are shown that anyone who sins against the first commandment sins first when they reject Christ as the Son of God, and also that whenever someone hears the gospel of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus and then denies it to anyone who has faith in Jesus, has sinned indeed. Christ has ascended. What did he do when he did that? He left us, his true church on earth, to do the work here, the planting and the harvesting, tending his flocks and herds, that is the Christian church of his good believing souls, and of looking after his household as good servants until he returns again. And he has told us that he wants us to love one another above all else. This is how we show our love for him. So when we disobey or disrespect our superiors, or allow hatred to fester in our hearts, or allow lust and other cravings to find a place in our lives, or to covet, or to gossip, all of these things rebel against our Savior's love. And for all of these things, we need to repent. As Paul says, for our comfort and consolation, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit are yours, now and forever. The victory of Christ is the forgiveness of these same sins for which we are guilty. So when someone confesses their sin to you, forgive them. They are removed from us, washed away from us, lifted from our shoulders, and we are given a clear conscience in Jesus. In our psalm, the Holy Spirit causes the writer to realize God chose our inheritance for us. Will you listen to that phrase one more time and consider what it means? God chose our inheritance for us. Remember that faith and forgiveness and salvation are not things we choose for ourselves. A baby does not choose baptism, nor does the Bible ever say that he should. But the baby's parents bring that child to Christ, who pours out his grace without any merit or worthiness in that child to make the child his own, to give the child all of these things that God has prepared in advance. So we praise God and we praise our ascended Lord. Without the ascension, we would wonder, was anything in the Gospels even true? We might work our way backward from the resurrection. If he is risen, where is he now? Without the ascension, we would wonder, did he truly rise? Did he die again? The ascension tells us that the resurrection was real and that the victory of Christ is complete. Without the ascension, following the resurrection, we might wonder, was his suffering a payment for sin, a true atoning sacrifice, or was it just the terrible tragic death of a good man? But no, the ascension tells us that the death of Christ on the cross was acceptable to God for our sins. And through this, we are truly forgiven. Truly have a place with him forever in heaven. Therefore, as far as our faith is and the entire text of the scriptures, the ascension is like the plug in the wash basin. It keeps everything from running out and drying up in rust and dusty disuse. The ascension of Christ is also a reminder that you yourself will be taken into heaven on judgment day. His ascension means your ascension. His ascension is proof of the resurrection, of the value of his atoning death, and the acceptance of his perfect and sinless life, and the fulfillment of every prophecy and prediction made by God and in the scriptures. Praise God for the ascension of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God that transcends our understanding guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Please stand as we confess our Christian faith, turning this evening to Luther's Small Catechism with the words of the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. What does this mean? God's good and gracious will certainly is done without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and defeats every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, which try to prevent us from keeping God's name holy and letting his kingdom come. And God's will is done when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and in the faith as long as we live. This is his good and gracious will. Amen. Please be seated as the choir sings our next hymn. We continue with the response of prayer. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy.
In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief.
Spare us, Lord, from the lies of the devil and the attacks of our conscience. Comfort and save us in your patient compassion. Guide us, Lord, to the wisdom of your word and the power of your promises. Take away our confusion and doubt.
Have mercy on us, Jesus.
Hear us, Lord, when we come to you in prayer. Make us confident to take you at your word and to follow you in faith.
Have mercy on us, Jesus.
Empower us, Lord, to walk in your ways and live in your truth. Fill us with your love that we may love you and one another.
Have mercy on us, Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we come before you with a special prayer for mercy and comfort on the family of David Silfies, who has been called home to heaven after a long battle with a very serious condition and its results. Give his wife and family comfort and assurance that you are with them, that he is with you in heaven. Be with them in their grief and comfort all who mourn. And Almighty God, by the death of your Son, you conquered sin, and by his resurrection, you restored our innocence and gave us everlasting life. Fill our hearts with steadfast faith, that we may daily serve you in your kingdom and praise and thank you always. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Amen.
Amen. We close with hymn 474, verses 1 and 6, Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise. Once more, express our appreciation for our children. This Sunday in the 11 o'clock service, we will celebrate Jill Morgan's retirement in the second part of the service, and you all are invited to a meal following in the church fellowship hall. It's been very good to worship with you. God bless you.